Well, today, man, we get to celebrate Memorial Day. And as I was, we were talking about it. How many of you know it's important to teach our young people, like I was saying earlier, why we do what we do and the reason for it? In the scripture, God sets festivals and feasts and certain days that are to celebrate what he's done in the past, right? We talked about those a little bit with the festival of the harvest that I talked about last week, and I'll make mention of it again here in a minute. But we see time and time again, the Passover is the celebration and remembering when the death angel passed over, right, in Egypt. And you have just all the different festivals and all the different things that he did. The festival of the booths or the festival of the tabernacles is a time when they would go out and make their own shelters and live in those for 7 days to remember the time when the children wandered in the wilderness. I mean, there's a lot of different things. And then you come over from the Red Sea, and what did he have them do? He had them build an altar to remember, right? So one of the greatest gifts that we have that God gives us is the ability to remember what has been done in the past, so we either don't repeat it, or we do repeat it in the future. I mean, you know, there's some good things that we did that we need to remember. There's some bad things we did. We need to forget. We need to move on. But we don't need to forget them totally, because if we do forget them totally, we won't understand truly the gift God's given us to bring us from where we came, right? If God took away every remembrance of the being slaves in Egypt, they would never remember how great it was to be in the Promised Land, right? We wouldn't be able to appreciate those things. And so Memorial Day is actually an official holiday. The reason why I want to do this again today and tell you the history behind it is because my daughter... this morning, my youngest was like, "What is Memorial Day? I don't even know. I mean, I know we're going to hang out." How many of you know a lot of the things that we have set in place, the activities of it have overridden the reason behind it, right? Christmas, right? Let's give gifts. Everybody, why? A fat guy comes down the chimney and we get gifts, right? That's what it's all about. No. It's about the birth of our Lord and Savior that we celebrate, but things have gotten in the way. If you talk to most kids about what Memorial Day is, or Labor Day, or all those different days, they're just like, "Look, it's a 3-day weekend. We get to barbecue and go swimming, right?" Look, it's not bad. We're going to barbecue. We're going to swim, right? But not remembering the reason behind why we're able to do what we're doing. And so Memorial Day is an official holiday in the United States. It was observed on May 30th until 1971, for the federal employees, the date changed to the last Monday in May. It's also known as Decoration Day, for those of you who don't know. The custom of placing flowers on the graves of the war veterans, or the people who passed away in the war, began on May 5th, 1866 in Waterloo, New York. And Waterloo has been recognized by Congress as the official birthplace of Memorial Day. In 1868, General John Logan, then president of the Grant Army of the Republic, declared that May 30th would be the day to decorate the graves of the comrades with flowers who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion. After World War I, the day was set aside to honor all Americans who died in wars, every war. And then the custom was extended to pay tribute to deceased relatives and friends, both military and civilians. So now it has not only become a day to remember the soldiers and the military who've fallen, but to remember all of our relatives, everyone that we know. It's a day to remember. The most solemn ceremony conducted on Memorial Day is placing of a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldiers in Arlington National Cemetery. And tomorrow we get to celebrate. Today we're going to celebrate here in church, but tomorrow we get to celebrate that day. Again, just as many people see it as a day off, a 3-day weekend, a reason to cook out and have friends over. But for those who've lost someone because of war or military action, it means much more than just a day off, man. It is an opportunity for us to recognize and honor those who gave their lives to make America what it is today. You know what? Even though we are flawed as a country, we're still the greatest country in the world, right? We still are the most blessed country in the world. And so we need to remember that. And there are many who died gave everything so that we can have what we have today. We have the right to live at peace in our own homes. We have the right to pursue peace, prosperity, and happiness. And one of the things that we need to do on Memorial Day is we need to remember to thank God for those who died to make us free. We need to, three things we need to do. We need to mourn their loss, we need to remember their lives, and we need to be thankful for their sacrifice. And if we do those things, their deaths aren't in vain, right? Their deaths aren't in vain. We prepare to remember those today who died for our country, but it's also important that we remember Jesus who died so that we could be free from our sins, so that we could have access to the Father and live an amazing life in Him. Amen? In light of the sacrifice, we're going to take a closer look at those things. This is what I want you to do. I want you to remember those things tomorrow as you're barbecuing, as you're grilling, as you're saying grace before you eat your meal, as you're doing whatever it is that you're going to do, remember them. So this is, we go work out. This is a squirrel, but it's going to fit, I think, right? We go work out in the mornings, and we hadn't worked out in probably 2 weeks. At our gym, they did this thing called the Murph. And what it is it honors Lieutenant Murphy. And you guys ever read the book Lone Survivor? Anybody? Anyway, it's a story about how they went and they did some things in Afghanistan. And it was whole other thing. But one of the things that they do to honor him and his workout that he used to do, he would wear a 45-pound sack, right? 45 pounds, and he would run a mile. He would do 100 pull-ups, he would do 200 push-ups, he would do 300 squats, and then he would do another mile. And that was his workout that he did. And so at our gym, there was a guy came and he said, hey, we want to do this. Would you guys at the gym be honored, you know, help us with it, want to do it? And, I mean, I think you pay like $30 and you get a t-shirt and you do all those things. And we're like, man, well, look, I ain't going to do all that stuff, but you know, we'll work. So we worked out and they worked up to it. And then we decided to go back on a Thursday because Thursday is generally leg day. Right, and so we're like, all right, we're gonna go for leg day because I like that one a lot. And when we went, and they walked in and they said, y'all didn't check your calendars, did you? Like, I mean, it's Thursday, it's leg day. They're like, no, today's Murph Day, right? And so we're like, but do you know what? It took me an hour and 20 minutes, but I did it. But Now, there were modified pull-ups, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't going to pull this up 100 times, you know? This is going to be real, right? I don't have to have a 45-pound rucksack. I already got plenty, right? So they were modified, and we did those things, but the whole time I was wanting to quit, I was like, I'm sure glad he didn't quit, right? That was my thought process. And that's what made me keep going. But, sorry, I cry. I don't like it. But when I live my life, do you know what I should be thinking about what Christ did for me every day? What he sacrificed for me every day. What he went through. So that I could be the bonehead that I am, right? Oh. We need to remember those who have sacrificed and given everything for us. And first of all, with Jesus. Bow your heads. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your Son, first of all, who died so that I can come into your presence, not be ashamed. Not be worried about punishment that's coming from you, Father God. And I can come and know that you're a loving Father, that you allow me to be a part of your family. And it's all because of the sacrifice of your Son. Likewise, this weekend, Father, as we honor those who have gone before us, Father, I thank you for those who have given their life, sacrificed everything that they had so that I could have the freedoms that I have today. So that I can stand here and proclaim your gospel. And I can stand here and I can go out these doors and go to my house and different things. And although, man, I understand everything that we live in, our nation, our country is not perfect. But it is one nation under God, regardless of what other people say. You do have your hand on this country, and I am thankful for that. And I ask that you would help us as we go through this the rest of today and tomorrow, that you would allow us to honor those who gave their life. Honor those and remember those, and don't just think about it as a day to barbecue and go swimming, but allow us to to enjoy the freedoms to be able to barbecue and go swimming, and what they gave, the sacrifice that has come, especially through your son, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So I'm going to do my best not to cry the rest of the day. We'll just see how that works. Those of you who are new, just I cry. So there's that. But that's because God is good to us. God is good to us. So, all right, right now we're in week 6. We took a couple of weeks break with when I had some work done on my teeth, and John did an amazing job. And it's funny, not funny, it's cool how his messages work right alongside these messages. And he's like, do you want me to preach what you're doing, or you want me to do your own thing? I'm like, do your own thing, man. Just do whatever, and then we'll cop back into it. But it's what Aaron calls, time and time again, we talked about it over next door, is the fingerprints, right? It's the fingerprints. It's that moment, and this is what we talked about next door, is that moment when you're sitting there and someone is speaking here and you're saying, how do they know about that? And that's what's going on in my life, right? And that's God, Holy Spirit, speaking through people and allowing our situations to be spoken to without even having to have somebody know about it. Does that make sense? I love that thought process and that access, and it comes because of the Holy Spirit. So empowered, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and in doing that, we start off in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and 8, and it says, so when they had come together, they asked, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the time or the season that the Father has fixed by his own authority. And if you remember again last week, I told you, man, we always ask the wrong questions, right? They're like, hey, is you going to do this? You going to do that? And he's like, man, why are you worried about that? That's what God's going to do. He's going to take care of that. You worry about other things. How many know we get so focused on certain things that we miss what we're supposed to be focused on, right? And this is the thing. Although those conversations aren't bad, I believe that the devil uses them as an opportunity to guide our focus elsewhere, right? In saying that, if you and I are focused on this over here, but we're supposed to be focused on this, if he can get us to talk about this and focus on this and make this a massive point that is so important when it's not, when the important point is over here, but if he can misdirect what we're doing, how many know he's going to do it all day long? He's going to do it all day long. We need to remember these things. And then he says this, it's not for you to know because the Father has fixed it by his own authority. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now I'm going to put some of these out. These are in your notes. I'm going to skip to Ezekiel, and then I'm going to come back to Acts chapter 2. Ezekiel, the scripture, 36, 26, and 27, it tells us this. It says, and I, God speaking to his children, he says, and I will put a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So this is one of the things this is one of the areas that I think we put the wrong focus on, right? We focus on ourselves doing those things and not walking in the Spirit and allowing him to allow us to do the right things. Does that make sense? When you talk to kids, when you talk to people, I was a kids pastor for 4.5 years and then a student pastor for 10 years. And in all that time, if you ask the kids or the youth, what's the most important, what does it mean to be a Christian? They're like, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you have to start doing this, you have to start doing that. Do you know they have missed the point of Christianity? It's about relationship, not religion. It's about I'm in the relationship with God, and because of that, there's going to be things that I'm going to do, not because I have to, but because I want to. Again, I've used the explanation. My wife's next door. I used the thing with her. When we got married, she didn't give me a list of rules and regulations. She didn't say, thou shalt not go to the mall and ask a girl to the movies, right? But I'm not going to go to the mall and ask a girl to the movies. Why? Unless it's her, right? Unless it's my wife, right? She didn't have to say, you can't do that anymore. But I don't want to do that anymore. Right? That's what happens in our lives. That's what's supposed to happen in our lives. But what happens is we keep our heart of flesh and say, well, I'm just going to give you part of it. I remember that joke. Remember the joke about I surrender all? I wish that we had a butt like he would buzz us when we lied. like, bzz, you know what I'm saying? And one of the biggest places, I've told y'all this before, but one of the biggest places that would happen is in the church service, right? Be like, I surrender all, like, bzz, no, because you only gave him half of it, right? We'd have to sing, I give some, I surrender some. Yeah, I surrender part of it, right? It wouldn't be, that's what happens. We hold on to those things. But the scripture tells us that when his Holy Spirit is inside of us, and when we walk by the Spirit, we're going to be talking about that in a minute. When we walk by the Spirit, what ends up happening? We do those things, not because we have to, not because we're forced to, not because we have to make ourselves. It's because we want to. It's because we want to. And this is what he says, that he will cause us to walk in his statutes and be careful to obey his rules. Then we go back up to when the Holy Spirit fell, and we read about that in Acts chapter 2, and it says, when the day of Pentecost had arrived and they were all together in one place, different translation says they were all in one accord, they were all in unity, right? They were all together focusing on the same thing. If we would all focus on one thing, guess what? That thing would definitely happen. That thing would definitely happen, right? Now, do we have other issues and other things we need to do and address and go through? Yes, but at this moment, they were sitting there saying, Jesus told us to wait here until the Spirit came. That's what we're going to do. And they were waiting. They were waiting. And what ended up happening? The Spirit fell. Suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And at the sound of the multitude, they came together. They were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in their own language. Most of the things that are going to happen in our lives when our lives change is going to cause people to say, what is different about you? How many times, I'm using this as an example, not to say something great about me, but I how many times do I go into the grocery store and I'm just talking to people and they're like, you're a pastor, aren't you? Like, yep. Like, do I have a pastor button on me? Like, that's what I do to people at Walmart. I'll walk up and be like, hey, Steve. They're like, how'd you know my name was Steve? Do I know you? It's like, no, it's on your shirt, right? So I make sure I'm not wearing a pastor shirt or something, right? But they'll say, because there's something different. Now, I'm just going to be real with y'all. Some days I go in there, but they'll be like, you're just grumpy, man. I don't know about you. Right? That's my fault, not God's, not theirs, right? But anyway, we are... Our lives are supposed to be such that people ask us, what's different about you? Why is your life the way it is? And I know we've talked about these things before, but it's one of those things that repetition. Y'all remember the preacher that was hired at the church and he went in? Some of y'all know this, but he went in and he preached his first message. And then he came Sunday night and he preached the same message. And the board came together and was like, hey, man, he preached the same message. Well, he's new at this, so let's just give him. Wednesday night he came and preached the same exact message. And they pulled him together like, hey, man, you know, you preach the same message three times. He's like, yeah, we're going to keep on this one until you get it. And then we'll move on to number two, right? It was over and over and over and over and over. How many know? We need to hear it sometimes over and over and over. Because sometimes we know it, but we don't walk in it. We know it, but we need to be reminded of it. We know it, but Memorial Day, our remembrance of what's going on. That's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. It brings to our remembrance the things that we have need of when we need them, right? That means we have to put them inside for them to come back out. Have to put them inside for them to come back out. They were all astonished. Then they asked, what does it mean? I'm going to skip down to verse 13. It says, but others were mocked. Oh, wait, excuse me. Verse 12, it says, and they were all perplexed to saying to one another, what does it mean? What about my life? What about your life screams, what is different? How can I have what you have? If not, we might be doing it wrong. I mean, we're doing it wrong. Let me not say might be doing it wrong. We're doing it wrong. If people aren't looking at our lives and seeing a difference, seeing a change, seeing something that's not what they see regularly in the people around them, then we're not shining the light of Christ out of us, right? Think that thought. The one thing that we talked about last week, the Holy Spirit, it will empower. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:6-8, it says, we'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. What is it to do to be the witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth? Again, our witness is what we do, not what we say. What we do, not what we say. Remember, the 70 to 93% of all communication is nonverbal. And Matthew 7:20 says, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. the actions that come out of us, they don't save us. They don't bring salvation to us. They show the change that has happened inside of us to others. And it allows others to see God and to see Jesus because of what is coming out of our lives. The second thing that we did in our notes, is point one of your notes today, is unity. We started reading in Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. And he's talking about how that we are, chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. Galatians comes down. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, right? Those things should be coming out of our lives daily. If those things come out, the others shouldn't, right? If the scripture tells us that good water and bad water can't flow out of the same fountain, right? If it does, then it's still bad water. It's not good water. It might be okay water. And this is the thing. We get into the thought process of that it's okay to be an okay Christian. That doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. In Revelations, he says, I want you to be either hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I don't want you to be. Now, I'm the weird one who likes lukewarm coffee, right? I don't like hot coffee. I like warm coffee. I don't want it to burn my tongue. I don't want it to be cold, right? I'm the opposite in that aspect. Now, I know some people, my wife, one, every 30 seconds or every probably 10 minutes, she's sticking it back in the microwave for 30 seconds to make that sucker hot as it can be so it'll burn all the way down, I guess. I don't know. I can't do that. I don't like that. But this is what Jesus is saying. This is what the scripture is saying, is that you either need to get in or get out. You can't stand in the middle of it, right? You can't go halfway. There's not a halfway Christianity. It's like Pastor John said, right? A mullet Christianity. I'm serious in the front and I'm partying behind the scenes where can't nobody see it, right? That doesn't exist. Let me say this. It doesn't exist in the eyes of God. It shouldn't exist in us. It shouldn't exist in us. People are watching us and they can see whether there's a change or not. Thought process question for you to go back and to think about is, how well am I doing representing Christ and the sacrifice that he made for me? How well am I doing? Again, nobody on earth is going to be perfect. So we do have to accept and love other Christians despite their faults. Good news on that, though. You guys ready for the good news? Because they have to love you despite your faults. Like what Aaron was saying earlier. Right? Right? I'm so glad that even though I got issues and problems, y'all still love me, man. You know what happens? Love covers a multitude of sins. Right? Now, let me say this. That love that covers a multitude of sins doesn't allow them to stay there. Because I love you, I'm gonna bear with the sins that you have in your life, the issues that you've got going on, because I got issues too, but I'm going to do everything I can to keep you from being and staying in those issues as a friend, speaking the truth in love. And I ask you guys this. So y'all just don't get this, and I said something about it last week, and Aaron said something about it the other day, but from up here, I can see who just gets hit right in the mouth with stuff that I say. I'm just going to be real. Right? Pow! That's why I like you smiling so I don't bust your lip in the process of them teeth, right? No. What happens is this, is I can say things up here and I can see who it hit. That's one of those things that we talked about last week, nonverbal communications. 93% of what we say has nothing to do with the words. Has to do with the actions. The tone, the inflection, the face. They say 55% has to do with just body language. And I can say something here and I can see body language in there, in you guys, and say, oh, okay, they like that one? You know what else I said? Like, they sure didn't like that one. I'm going to talk to them later, right? I'm like, ugh. Anyway, it happens. But one of the things that we need to think about or to see is that is there, and I got here from this one, is there someone whose actions or personality just really annoy you that you just don't want to be around because? And again, like I said, see, I can see some of y'all are just like, oh, I know exactly who he's talking about. Like, you came into your head right then and you know who it is. But this is the one thing that we need to do instead of dwelling on the weakness that they have, we need to look at ways that we can help them be. Do you know what? And I ended with this last week, right? So y'all, most of y'all have heard, some of y'all have heard all of this already, and you're like, if you get to the new stuff, I'm coming. One of the things is that when we get to know that person, we might learn things about their past and about what happened to them and the labels that were put on them and the burdens that they bared and the abuse that they suffered to make them the way that they are, that we don't like the way that they are. But once we build a relationship and we understand why they're that way, how many of you know it's easier for us to walk with them through it, right? That's why one of the main things that we need to do is not judge books by their cover, but get to know the people underneath, and that way you can help when those things come. When that issue, when they get really short and blunt, or when they get scared and take off because somebody was loud, or they, whatever happens, you can understand why they completely shut down and don't do anything, or why they're very obnoxious and loud, like me, right? Like they're very obnoxious and loud. You can understand those things because you know them, and because of the relationship, it changes the way you think about those people. So think this thought. Maybe those ones that are aggravating and annoying to you, instead of just saying, I don't ever want them around, I ain't inviting them to nothing, maybe you need to invite them and you need to sit next to them. Maybe you need to let God change your heart about the situation and not worry about them changing, right? One of the things that the Holy Spirit does in the patience and the joy and the love and the self-control in all those things is he brings unity in those situations. So those issues and those problems that the devil tries to use to separate and to divide, the Holy Spirit wants us to be a part to help bring them together and unify and bring unity. Rather than dwelling on the weakness, the person's weakness, looking for their faults, we need to pray for them, maybe spend time with them. Verse 3 in Ephesians 4, it says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. To build unity is one of the Holy Spirit's roles. He leads, but we have to be willing to follow. One of my favorite verses, and I told you about this last week, is that Romans 12:18, as if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everybody. Do everything you can to bring peace. Verse 4 says this, there's one body, one Spirit, just as you were all called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Paul says there's one body, but that unity doesn't just happen. We have to work at it. We have to be the ones to make effort to move towards it. Amen? I'm going to skip on down. We'll come to verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led hosts of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Again, gifts are given to each and every one of us to use. We're going to get back next week into the gifts and into what they are. Remember, we went through the first 12 or 10, I think, and I've got probably nine or 10 or 11 more. There's several of them in there we're going to get to. A lot of the gifts that we get, man, we don't understand that they're even gifts. How many of you know that? A lot of the gifts that are in our lives, we see them, we work in them, but we don't even understand that it comes from God, and that's why we do the things that we do and why we are the way that we are. Again, some people are loud and like to talk. Some people are very quiet and don't want to say much at all. Do you know what? That they both have their place. They both have their gifts. They both have their abilities. Because you know what? How many of you are quiet, kind of introvert, right? Most of you would much rather be around introverts, correct? Just be honest. Somebody lifted their hand and said they're introvert, and I disagree 100%. Wait a minute. Anyway, I know I have my hand up, so there's that. How many of you are extroverts? You love being around, love having a lot of people. See, I was talking to somebody at a graduation party yesterday. I was the fourth of the children, the youngest. I always had people around. And my brother's like 8 years older than me. So he had always had friends when I was a little kid. And my sister had friends with my other sister. So we were always at church. We were always around a ton of people. Do you know what? I can't stand to be at home, just the family. Like, I mean, I love my family. I want them to be with me. I just don't want to be at home. I want everybody to come. My daughter Sydney's the same way as me. She don't want to be at home. You know what, Shelby? She's like, hey, this is my room. Can y'all get out so I can read a book or look on TV or something? I'm done. Y'all, you just can leave me alone now, right? Do you know what? Neither one of them is bad. And this is the thing. I can reach people that an introvert can't. But you know what? An introvert can reach people that I can't. Some people are like, man, he's just too much. I can't. Small doses, right? That's how it is. And I'm okay with that. But we're all called to be and to do different things. And because of that, we can bring unity. Or we can say, they're so different, I don't want nothing to do with them. But this is the thing. One of the things that happens with me in April. April is very, very much an introvert. A lot of people, not so much now, but when we first got married, and maybe even when we first came here, she is very quiet. She doesn't talk. A lot of people took that as she was rude and stuck up. She is not at all. Once you talk to her and get to know her, man, she's my wife, yes, but she's amazing. She's not here. I'm not getting brownie points for this, right? She is amazing, okay? But most people can't get past the quiet, shy, I don't want to talk to people. They look at it in the wrong way. Again, going back to the thought process that we need to get to know people, and then we'll understand why they're the way they are. Or we'll understand, like she grew up, her brother and sister were grown and out of the house before she was born, right? So she grew up an only child. She's not, but she grew up an only child. She loves peace and quiet and being alone. I can't stand it. We're all different. We need to understand that that should allow us to have unity, not division. Unity, not division. We're all been given different gifts and abilities. That verse that Paul is referring to here in verse 8, where it says, therefore it was... it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Comes out of Psalm 68:18. It says, you ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. Do you know what I love about that thought? So, remember my umbrella theory from last week when I told you guys about the umbrella and being in God's blessing? Do you know that even when you're not under the umbrella, God still blesses you at times? Now, the blessing is never what it could or should be. But here in the scripture, it says he gave gifts even to among rebellious men, rebellious people. But then it says why? That the Lord God may dwell there so that they can see that God exists. So that they can see that God's there. So that they can see that God is the one who gives provision. And then do you know what else? You take it another step further. Even when they don't see it, it says that the treasure of the unrighteous are stored up, or treasure of the wicked are stored up for the righteous. God gives gifts to the unrighteous so that we can benefit and be blessed by it. Case in point, I work at I don't. This is a hypothetical. I work at a place where the boss doesn't love God, doesn't have anything to do with God, but God has blessed him with a gift that he could use for the kingdom, but he uses for himself. And he builds up this kingdom, and then he brings me in to be a part of it, and I get to have blessing because of what has been given to this man. Ends up happening. You look at it, so think this thought. Who cultivated the promised land? No, children of God didn't cultivate. It was there. He's like, go, there's the land I'm giving to you. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's got grapes, the huge grapes. It's got all these crazy things. It has everything that you need. Go there now. Who gave that to the people who had it? God. So think this thought. The next time you look at somebody, it's like, they don't even serve God. Why do they have these things? Why is that going on in there? First of all, don't compare yourself to other people. But if you're going to, think this thought. God wants to bless you in the same way. And maybe he's laying treasures up for you that's one day going to be a part of what he's doing for you. Do you know how many things I've been given that I've wanted by people who didn't serve God, but I've been praying about something. I've been wanting this. I've been wanting this. I've been wanting this. And I get one given to me. I'm like, oh, thank you, God. Thank you. And it's a gift for me that I didn't pay for. Why? Because he blessed somebody else and they gave it to me. Not all of them serve him. Think that thought. That's one of the cool things that I see in this. There's so many cool little nuggets hidden in this scripture, guys, that we just miss. Like, we don't understand. Like, I've read that scripture before. I've read the whole Bible. I've read that scripture before. I didn't ever see that. I never saw that principle. That's why it's important to keep reading your Bible over and over and over and going through it again. Like, well, I already read that. Let's read it again. Read it again. You'll see something new. You'll see something different. So this scripture right here, again, it pictures God as the conqueror marching through the gates to take tribute from a fallen city, right? God has given them. You know what? In Jericho, the walls of Jericho came down. What happened? Children of God inherited it. All the battles that they fought, they inherited it, except for the ones where he said, don't keep nothing, right? Except for those. But we see time and time again, and Paul uses the picture to teach us that Christ in his crucifixion and resurrection was victorious over Satan. And everything that he tries to steal and tries to take away from us and tries to keep from us, he can't do it. He can't do it. When Christ ascended to heaven, scripture says that he gave the church gifts. This is where we get the fivefold ministry that's coming out in verse 11. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you know when we're supposed to stop using our gifts? When unity comes to the whole body. Do you know when that's going to come? The day we stand in front of God. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. So the gift that you've been given, regardless of how old you are or how young you are, you're to use right now, until you go stand before the Father. I know a lot of people that are like, man, I've done it. I've done it for 20-something years or 30-something years or 40-something years. It's time for me not to do that. If God's given you a gift, you're supposed to use it till the end. I'm just going to be real. You're supposed to use it to the end, till you stand in front of him. There's not a time where your gift comes back and comes away from you. Now, the only time in Scripture, we talked about this at our Bible study on Wednesday, the only time in Scripture, the Bible says that the gifts are without reproach, right? They're not going to be taken away from us. But again, like everything else, we understand if you look at the parable of the talents, there's a time that the gift is taken from a person and given to someone who's going to be faithful and to use it properly. So stop using your gift. You won't have it to use. Does that make sense? What's the earthly term? See, a lot of the earthly term slang we have for today came from the scripture. Use it or lose it, right? That's where it comes from, the parable of the talents, right? So the gifts that we've been given, he gives them to each and every one of us. And we put them in the box, kind of like we take certain scriptures and use a certain part and say, okay, well, that's what he said. Do you know why I think that God is very vague on certain things in the scripture? Especially when it comes to like different sins and things like that, or how we can use stuff. Because we'll all be like, whew, he didn't mention mine. That means it's not that bad, right? Or he left that out, so he wasn't. This is one of those things that we give these five things special place, and they are callings that people have, but they're not any more important than the gifts that he's given to each and every one of us. I'm just going to be real. Y'all are all looking at me quiet now. I'm just going to be real. They're not any better or any higher. They don't need to be on a pedestal. But he says this. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. And the whole purpose of that is to equip you and me to be able to do what we're called to do. Why do we have teaching on the gifts of the Spirit? So that you can see what your gifts are and hopefully learn how to use them. Right? Why do we do that? Because it's important that we all use our gift. It's important that we build up the church. If we understand Christianity is not about ourselves, it's about others. Our Christian life is not about me, and what I can get from God. It's about, God, what have you given me so that I can give it to other people? When we start to understand that, we change. And what ends up happening? Think this thought physically, right? Kids, they're all about me. Gimme, gimme, right? Teenagers know a lot, There are some. Y'all just plug your ears right here real quick. Teenagers, right? They know everything, but still have a lot to learn, right? Like, when I was 17, 18 years old, I knew way more than my dad did. Like, way more than my dad did. My dad was dumb. My dad is not dumb. Y'all know my dad. He is, like, one of the wisest people you know. But in my eyes, I knew everything. Now I wish I could go back and do things a lot different, because I know a lot more now than I ever did then, right? But there's a point in there where we know a lot, and we can do our own thing. I'm big dog. I can get off the porch, kind of a thought process. But then we grow into maturity, and we understand that everything is not about me. It's about what God has given me to give to others. How I relate that is when my kids. Until my kids came along, I still didn't know. You asked my wife for like, I can't do math. My daughter is 11. I've been married for 19 years. So all the years before that in my marriage, it was all about me. It was all about me. See, y'all already know math. That's why we're good together. See, I don't do math. You do math. We're a great team. So you can ask my wife. Those 8 years, it was still all about me in our marriage, right? It wasn't until I had kids that I understand it got nothing to do with me. Look at this, right? Maturity came really late to me. I was like 34 when I had my first kid, right? So it was all about me until that point. And then I understood it's not about me. It's about what I have to give to my kids. And it changed my marriage. What do I have to give to my wife? Do you know everything changed when that principle came into my life? When maturity came into me? But do you understand that spiritually we are exactly the same way? When we first come to Christ, we make a lot of messes. Have to be cleaned up after a whole lot. Have to be fed. It's not until we become a teenager, until we really understand everything more than everyone else, right? When I first got saved, I was telling my dad he needed to get saved. He had been a pastor for like 25 years, y'all, right? he knew God. He had a relationship. But what? I knew better than everybody else. Now there's an opportunity when I open up that word and I say, I don't even know half of what's in here. I don't even know. And everybody's like, man, you know so much about this. I'm like, look, when I look in there, I see I'm ignorant to a lot of stuff that's in there. I don't know. You know what? That's a sign of maturity, understanding that there's still a whole lot more for me to learn. A whole lot more for me to learn. And this is what happened. Our gifts that he's given to us to bring unity together, that's our goal. And when we're a mature Christian, that's what we want to do, is bring unity. We want to take division out. We want to stop dividing over whether you have to be baptized or not. We want to stop dividing over whether you have to speak in tongues or not. I'm just going to be real with you. Paul says in his word, he's like, I wish you all could speak in tongues. That means some of them couldn't. He's like, I wish that you could all prophesy. That means some of them can't. So take that and study it, right? Apply it if it applies. But we look, and what happens is when we get to maturehood, we're not tossed back and forth between stuff. We're not one to argue about this and argue about that and argue about this. We want to look at it and say, hey, this is what God's word says. This is the only way to get to him, and I want to do everything I can to help you. What can I do to help? What can I do to help? The Holy Spirit is all about unity and bringing unity. And when we walk by the Spirit, that's what happens, not division. Now, ultimately, in the scripture, it does talk, and we talked about it last week, about there being people that are coming in that are only for themselves and trying to get their own things. And that there are, look, I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to hit you hard about doctrine, about what I believe, unless you're standing right here about to tell people stuff. Then I'm going to be very hard about it. I believe that's my place. I believe that's why God put me here, right, as the pastor, right? They put it as a shepherd, right? I'm not going to let anything crazy come out of here to the best of my ability. But some of y'all look at me and be like, you're talking crazy stuff now. I was like, yeah, but that's because I believe it, right? I believe it. I believe it's in the word of God. I can back it up. I can show it to you. And if you come to me with something that I don't believe, let's sit down and talk about it. Let's sit down and go through it. And I'm going to show you, this is why I believe what I believe. This is the scripture. This is what I see. I'm going to read scriptures before it and after it to go with that one verse that we just read to make sure that it's being used in context, right? And we'll walk through it together. And then at the end of it, if we can't agree on it still, I'm be like, look, you're my brother. I love you. But you know what? My brother who lives in Satellite Beach, Troy, I don't agree with him on everything. He's still my brother. We're still part of the family. We still talk about all the stuff we do agree on and the good times that we have. We leave the other stuff out. Why? Because it doesn't need to be there in our relationship. Unity is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Look, y'all, I got to quit again. Because I get, all right, I don't want to rush through this. We're going to talk about direction next week. And I'm not going to do any recap. We're just going to talk about direction next week. Are y'all ready? Okay? Are y'all all right with that? I'm not going to talk about any recap. This is what we need to understand. I'm going to read from 11 to 16 one more time. And we're going to talk about that for a second, then we're going to stop. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 14, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried out by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. This is what we need to focus on. This is what I want you to focus on. One thing to focus on this week. Y'all ready? Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Our whole goal in life should be love. Loving other people. Helping other people grow. Using the abilities and the talents that we have to grow. Not trying to step out in stuff that I can't do, but allowing other people that can step out and do it. Do you know that was one of my most difficult things when I came here? Is to try and let people do stuff. Y'all... I don't want to let people do stuff. I just won't do it, right? Do you know that that does nothing but hurt me and you? Why? Because God's given you gifts to use, and if I don't let you use them, it hurts you. Do you know what else it hurts? It hurts the body of Christ. Again, I'm going to go back to Acts. When the early church came and somebody came and they were complaining that some of the widows were getting food and some of the widows weren't getting food, like your widows are getting food and ours aren't, and this, and not understanding it's not about ours and theirs. It's about the church. And what did the apostles say? What did they say? They're like, listen, I'm called to teach and to preach and to do. I'm not called to be the administrator here. Let's get some people in that have the gift of administration, that live righteous, holy lives, and let's put them in charge of the food distribution, because I can't stop doing my gift because I'm trying to do yours. This is the thought process. Don't try to use other people's gifts. Don't wish your gift was different. Use the gift that you've been given so that you can build the church, because nobody can do and use your gift the way that you can. And if you don't use, this is the next thing. If you're not using your gifts, it harms the body of Christ, not help. You say, well, I don't really understand. I'm going to mess up. Okay, mess up. It's fine, right? Mess up, and then the whole body comes together. When I have a part of my body that doesn't work right, I jam my finger and it doesn't work right. Guess who picks up the slack? These. Right? That's the way it's designed. When part of the body is not functioning the way that it should, or is sick, or is hurt, the rest of the body comes together and helps until they're healthy enough to do it on its own. Right? We need to think that thought as well. We need to help the body grow. Use our gifts. And sometimes we may have to help other people in their area of gift. Not take it over completely, but help until they're ready to do it on their own. That's what I want you to think about this week and pray about and study in your word. Because, again, if it's not in here, you don't need to listen to me. This will be real. I love you guys. Come on up. We're gonna finish off. Next week, I'm going to start with direction. And I'm just going to start at number 3, direction. And we're going to go through it so I don't run out of time again. This week is our opportunity to go out and to build the church in unity. It's our opportunity to be empowered to go out and to speak and to share and to tell people what we know, what God has done for us, and for us to overlook. Not overlook in the form that we allow it to stay. Overlook in the form that we still stand next to our brothers and sisters and help them grow. Amen?
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the unity that we can help bring about. I ask that you would help us, as your word said, live peaceably with others. As far as it depends on us, God, let us do everything we can to not have issue or problem with other people, to not spread stuff about other people that we don't know. Let us go to people and say, hey, this is what's happening. This is what I heard. This is what can I do to help you, man? Help us. Help us be a part of you healing the body of Christ, the church, your children. There's some of us maybe that don't understand and don't know who Jesus is truly. Again, your thought process of Christianity is rules and regulations, do's and don'ts. I have to be this, I have to do this, or I can't be a part of the family. I want you to see today that Jesus died for you, as messed up as you are right now, as messed up as I was in my life and am still at times. He died so that we could have freedom, so that we could be a part of the family, so that we could know that he loves us. And the scripture says that he gives us the Holy Spirit as a seal, as a remembrance, as a down payment, the scripture says, to know that we belong to him. Help us follow you, Holy Spirit. Help us accept what Christ has done. Help us live a life that is worthy of the sacrifice of you, Jesus. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody said.